Really thankful this morning. Very grateful that the government is not on my shoulders. The responsibility that I feel like the Lord has given to me is simply to preach the gospel according to the Word of God, not adding to or taking away. But I'm also very cognizant of the fact this morning that I'm not able to do that either, except that the Lord helps. So I'm very desperate for the Lord's help every time I stand here, that I would be an empty vessel, that the Lord would be able to pour something from His throne that would come through and out into you that would be edifying and truth. And so this morning, I do from my heart ask that you would pray for me, and that you would give your attention for a little while. You willing to be challenged a little bit this morning? Psalm 46 and 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that these other things aren't God. Anything else is not God. I'm God. Be still and know that I am God." I'd like to write the title this morning of the burden that I have. Two words. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Next, please"? Have you ever heard anyone say that? Maybe at a security checkpoint. Maybe at the DMV. Maybe at the post office. And maybe they're behind something, and maybe they're leaning forward, and they might not even be giving you a whole lot of focus. It's "next, please." And depending on how they say it, sometimes you might get the feeling that they would like you to come so that they can get done with you, so that they can go on to the next person. I don't know if you've ever felt that. Sometimes it can come across that way. And you know, there's other times where maybe you are being attended to, and you're the one that's standing there, and you got some things you're trying to work through, and maybe you pause for a little bit, and you're trying to gather your thoughts, and all of a sudden you hear, "Next, please," and they're done. They're done with you. They're ready to move on to the next person. And maybe there's good reason for that in different situations. But have you ever felt that somebody has moved on from you to something else? People can feel that sometimes. Sometimes it's real, and I suspect because we're human, a lot of times it's imagined too. You know, from a young child, you've heard that the little turn of phrase that the greatest nation is imagination, and sometimes we can imagine a lot of things that simply aren't true. Well, they're done with me. They left. They don't care. When that has no element of truth at all, but that's not my thought this morning. I wonder today if there are times that God feels or knows, rather, that we have moved on from Him. And that perhaps sometimes we say "next." "Next, please." In today's age, seems like, we're all about things and information. were about pictures and sounds and ideas, and were about things that cause our minds to wonder, and we're about change, something different, something that moves on, and we madly scroll through all of these things. We madly scroll through life sometimes, try to live life in almost a rush to get to the next thing, because after all, you know, it's very possible that there might be something better just right around the corner than what it is that we have in the present, after all. And we might miss it if we don't redirect our attention to whatever may be available for next. We live in a time and in a culture that just, it seems like that we're addicted to the dramatic. It feels like we're addicted to experiencing change that so appeals to these senses, sight and sound and things that are sensory, that stimulate us. And yes, psychology's at work too, often unbeknownst to us, that is drawing us and endeavoring to addict us to these things, constantly pushing us to the next thrill, driving us to the next emotional high, to the next headline. What's next? And our senses become addicted, conditioned. We become conditioned to being stimulated. Our senses being stimulated. We become, and I'm speaking in general terms, but I believe this is a very real danger, and I want to speak plainly to it. We can become overcharged. We become accustomed to being overcharged. And the Lord saw this, saw it back in his day, and no doubt he looked ahead and he wrote words in the scripture that warned us, take heed unto yourselves, unto yourself individually, lest at any time you become overcharged. And so that day come upon you unaware, and because it's like a snare. Being overcharged is like a snare. We'll get to that a little bit. What's the danger? What's the danger? What difference does it make? Sister Tammy brought out in Sunday school. So it makes me feel good. It's not sin. What difference does it make in these things? The danger is that the Lord may be trying to reach you in a still small voice and you miss it. Miss it completely. The voice from the Creator, the one that knows all, that is endeavoring to preserve our souls, wants us to make it in safely, and he speaks. We're so drawn and addicted and overcharged that it goes right past us. Do we ever tell God, next, please? maybe not out loud, but with our thoughts and actions. I don't, to be clear, I don't think anybody here in the congregation literally would look at God and say, "Next, please. Next, please. I'm done with what God has for me. I'm ready for the next." I don't feel like that there's anybody here that would do that. But do we ever get in a place where we're just kind of done? We're just kind of ready for the next thing that's after the present? Or something that is interrupting the present. A present that's not yet complete. The word "next" speaks of something that comes after. I mean, next says something to us about here's what's happening now, and then at a time after that, there's next. But sometimes it's not even a time after that. Sometimes that present thing that God has put before us is still in progress, and we're ready for next. And it's an interruption that we are willing to give our heart and our mind and our attention to before the present, if you will, is over with. We can always imagine something better than what's in the present. Right? The grass is always greener on the other side. We've all heard that. And all of us have gone by probably pastures where we see this, we see these acres of grass. But then there's a fence around it, but acres of grass. And then there's a cow with his head stuck through it, or a horse. And they're eating the grass from the other side. It's like they look around and they're like, "Well, next. I guess I'm ready for something outside of this boundary of the present place that was intended for me to be. So I think I'll try to stick my head through and get something else." The promise of something that is better than what is in the present. But what are we doing with now? What are you doing with what God has put in front of you in the present? I wonder if we often have problems in life. All kinds of problems, material, physical, temporal, and spiritual problems that bleed over into all areas of our lives. And we are unnecessarily in trouble because we are too quick to pass over what God has set our table with. We are too willing to be interrupted from what God has put in front of us. "Well, I don't really like the taste of this, so I go to something different." "Well, I've had that before. I know what it tastes like." I've said that before. I've been asked, "Hey, do you want some of this?" And I've said, "No, I'm good. I know what it tastes like." And I wonder if we can do that spiritually. God has something to give us, and we say, I already know what that tastes like. Next. What else is there? Well, that doesn't really apply to me. Maybe it applies to somebody else. I'm speaking of something else now, not what I already know what it tastes like. When God is trying to give us something, when he's trying to give you something, he's put something on his table for you. And we look at it and we say, "Well, that's not for me. I guess that's for somebody else." Or we just get used to, I'll eat it if that's all there is to eat. And our heart's not really in it. And then something happens on either side of us, and we are so ready to become distracted from what God has put on our table to eat. And we immediately turn our attention to something else because we are addicted and we're overcharged and we crave those things that appeal to the emotional and temporal senses of our bodies, what we see that's attractive and what we hear and something to have in our mind to wonder about or just to know. And so we become so easily distracted, and I just wonder sometimes if the root of our problem is that we just don't finish eating what God's put in front of us. Israel showed us what that looked like. They showed us what it looked like to say, "Next, please," to God. We won't turn there, but I think it's in the 11th chapter of Numbers. We read about manna. Manna was a daily miracle. Wouldn't you like to taste manna? I mean, they didn't have anything to eat, and the Lord knew how to create this substance that if they would eat it, it would supply all their needs. You talk about a supervitamin. All they had to do was just eat what God sent from heaven, and it supplied their needs. They got tired of it. Like, I ate that yesterday. I ate that the day before. We've been eating that, and we're just ready for something of more substance. We're ready for change. We're ready for something with a different texture. Next, please. Is this all we have? And so God gave them, "Next, please." And he said he gave them meat and quail to the point that, what did it say? That it ran out of what? It ran out of their nostrils. Have you ever had quail run out of your nostrils? Be careful. Be careful what you go after. Be careful about becoming bored with God's provision. We put ourselves at grave risk when we become bored or inattentive and are easily distracted in the midst of God's provision. And so, Psalm 46 and 10, where we started, says, "Be still." Be still. Just be at rest. Be still. And know that all of these other things that we are so drawn to, they're not God. All these other things that we scroll through, that we seek after, that all these things that so easily distract our minds in the midst of prayer, in the midst of the word of the Lord, in the midst of reading scripture, in the midst of the still small voice, we are so overcharged and can have such a desire to those things that appeal to the eyes and to the ears and the senses and the minds, that we're distracted so quickly and miss the very thing that is needed to preserve life. And so the Lord says through Scripture, "Be still. Know that I'm God. These other things aren't God. I'm God. These things are going to pass away. But my word's not going to pass away. And yet you live. The world is living as if this is going to pass away and all these other things are going to remain. I feel like that the Lord is saying, be still, slow down, pay attention. I'm God. This is my word. And if we don't slow down, and if we don't recognize when we're overcharged and when we're caught up in this squirrel cage that the world is controlling the speed of, and so we run faster and faster and faster and faster to stay up with all of the things that are constantly being meted out to us. And the Lord's out there, and He's trying to get our attention. He has something, some manna for us. He has something that He wants to get to us because He's in the interest of bringing life and abundant life and preserving our souls. But we're just so madly running on that squirrel cage, and we're so interested in everything there is to see, and so interested in what there is to hear, and what's going on over here, and what's being said over here, and we're just that we miss it. Have you ever, you hear that turn of phrase when people say, ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention? Could I say that this morning? Brothers and sisters, could I have your attention for a minute? Be very careful. Be cautious. Be on guard against overstimulation. Because being in a state, this constant state of overstimulation to our eyes, our ears, our minds, it breeds spiritual desensitization. Become desensitized spiritually. And if you'll allow me, I'd like to use a stark illustration. It leads to spiritual leprosy, where rats are eating away the very things in our lives that are intended to be a blessing to us. They're eating away at our arms and our legs and our hands and our minds. And we don't even know it. We don't feel it. Because we've been desensitized. And so the enemy comes in and he begins to take from us the very things that were given to us to be a blessing. And we don't even feel it. Jesus said in Matthew 13 and 15, their ears, they're dull of hearing. I think maybe it said their hearts, they're waxed gross. They've gotten fat. They're callous. Their ears, they've grown dull with hearing. What was he talking about? Well, they don't see the things that appeal to the senses. They don't hear the things that the world wants them to hear. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about they're missing the weightier matters of life. The things that would preserve life are passing them. They're just passing them by. The word of the Lord is given. My spirit's voice speaks. They don't hear because they're dull of hearing. Not because God lost interest, not because God stopped speaking, but because we stopped listening.
When everything is loud and dramatic, when everything around us is loud, dramatic, appeals to our senses, is intended to really stimulate us, then the subtle can often be missed. And it can feel insignificant. Do you remember when car alarms first came out? You remember when they first started selling those aftermarket, because a lot of the cars, maybe some of the real expensive cars had them, but back in the 70s or 80s, not very many cars had car alarms. Well, and they started selling alarms you could put on your car so that if someone broke into your car, this siren would go off. Get your attention. We bought one, and I use the term "we bought one" rather loosely because I didn't. My mom and dad did. We had something stolen out of one of our vehicles. Quite a bit of dollars worth of things were stolen. So my dad, he bought an alarm and put this alarm on our vehicle. And it was an alarm where a number of things would set it off. If you opened the door when the alarm was set, the alarm would go off. Just, you know, had just a little switch in there. And if you opened the door, the switch would come out. Circuit would be either broken or made, and the alarm would go off. Or it also had these little gadgets on there that if the vehicle started moving, motion set the alarm off. So we put this alarm on. One night we go to bed, and in the middle of the night, reep, 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 reep. And I'm telling you, I think every last one of us, all of us, we children, we had our own bedrooms by that time. All of us were outside in the middle of the night. Well, the alarm's going off. What's going on? Is somebody trying to take something that's not theirs? Is somebody trying to steal something from us that's not theirs to take? We heard an alarm. We're going to go find out. And we were interested enough to get out of bed in the middle of the night when we didn't feel like it to go see what was going on. And when we got out there, you know what we found? The door was open and there was mud on the seats where the person frantically was jumping out of the van to get out of there as fast as they could. You could see claw marks in the mud next to the van. They jumped over the fence and muddy footprints down the street as they tried to get out of there as quick as they could. The alarm worked. But now the alarms go off. Everybody has an alarm. There's lots of noise. There's lots of stuff that goes off. There's lots of stuff that we hear with our ears that's dramatic. And you can't hardly get anyone to turn ahead anymore. Sounds like somebody's alarm's going off. Wish they'd turn that thing off so I could focus. Wish they could turn that thing off so I could read what I'm reading. Oh, yeah, that's just one of those things. Familiarity without focus can breed indifference. Familiarity, seen it all before. Without focus, so I'm not going to focus. It can breed indifference. Ah, the preacher's been in the same place. His voice is the same. He's reading out of the same scriptures I always hear him preach from. He's been up there for 30 minutes now. Next. I know it's time to read, have my daily devotions, but Yeah, I've read that verse a lot of times, and yeah, I learned that when I was a kid. I know that verse. What else is there? Oh, there's that verse right there. Well, I've never really understood what that meant. So what else is there? Oh, here's one. Well, that might be good for somebody. I know somebody that could use that verse. I wish they were reading that verse this morning. Next. What about silence? You know, a lot of people are uncomfortable with silence. Could have done an experiment this morning. I could have just gone silent for a while and just see what happens. People get uncomfortable and they want to fill the space. If it gets silent too long, it's like, on. Somebody says something and then it gets silent. People, they get uncomfortable with the silence. And so whether they have anything to say or not, they say it anyway. Just because they're uncomfortable with silence. And I just want to insert this as a subnote that goes with it. It's okay to wait a little bit for prayer. It's okay on Wednesday nights for there to be some silence in between prayers. The Lord might be speaking to somebody's heart. It's okay if somebody has something to say, testify, and they sit down and then there's a silence and it starts getting longer than what you may be comfortable with. It doesn't need to be filled unless there's something that it should be filled with. It's okay for silence to happen. The Lord speaks to us often when it's quiet. But we live lives and we're so overcharged with the movement and sound that when we get in the car and we go somewhere and we're in our homes and whatever we're doing, there just seems like there's got to be activity and stuff going on, and that spirit can come right in among these four walls. Next, what else is there? Fill the void. When is it going to be done? Well, it's not for me. Well, we read the Word of God and the Lord has something special to tell us in our own personal devotions. But then there's all these other things pulling and calling us. The enemy of our soul does not need to silence the gospel. The enemy of our soul does not need to silence the gospel. It just needs to distract us from it. Just draw our minds away. You can sit under the gospel. You can read the gospel for yourself. You can have the Spirit's voice speak something to you and still miss it. In the fourth chapter of Mark, we hear about the sower that sowed seed. And in one case, the word was sown, but the soil was shallow. And it was, if you'll allow me, it was crowded with other things. There wasn't a lot there. There wasn't a lot of space for the word, for the seed that was sown, to have really any space to do anything with, because there was other things that crowded it out. So there's a reason why the writer in Hebrews in the second chapter said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and if every transgression and disobedience, if it received a just recompense of reward, and it will. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What, neglect? And here's part of my burden this morning is that I guess I feel that as a people, as a whole, I mean, this is our group this morning, that most of us aren't going to raise our hands and say, yeah, I'm interested in neglecting the gospel. I'm interested in neglecting the things of my soul. I guess I don't think that's where we are. But minds wonder, and hearts wonder, and attention scatters, especially in the absence of sensory stimulation. It just goes. And it's a snare. It is a trap of the enemy. And the danger is not outright rebellion, because again, I don't, and it's not my place to know. My place is to preach the gospel. God knows the hearts. But it doesn't feel to me like that we have a house full of people that are interested in rebelling against God. Rebelling is not so much the danger here, where it's just outward rebellion, but it's distraction that's quietly at work. It's distraction. And that's why it's such an effective snare, because it works quietly and it seems harmless, while it eats away and it steals. And in some cases, it deceives, because our focus isn't there. And so, with many fair words and speech, we can be deceived by things that just sound good. There's a way that seemeth right unto man. It sounds good and it appeals. And then we become deceived because we're distracted from the still small voice of the Spirit of God. And it is such a snare, because again, it seems so harmless. It's just a little bit of distraction. God is often found where it's quiet, and that still small voice. Do we hear it? Do you hear the Lord speaking to your heart as you live life? Do you give Him time and space? Do you give Him silence? Undistracted? When you come into the house of the Lord, you come with open hearts and endeavor as best as you can, I know we're human, to close the door to distraction, to be able to receive what God has for us. God's voice is found by the one that is listening for it, that's hungry for it, that's attentive. As we live life, we read about Elijah in 1 Kings. He'd just seen fire fall from heaven. Boy, it was dramatic. It was powerful. It was impactful. It had everybody's attention. Licked the water up with the fire and came down from heaven, and people had never seen anything like it. But God's next words came in a still small voice. And if Elijah would have been addicted to just the dramatic, he would have missed it. I think of the five foolish virgins. Were they bad people? I don't think they were bad people. But somehow, some way, they lost focus on what mattered most. Maybe they were distracted. Maybe they said, next, to non-sinful things. Maybe it doesn't mean it's sin. It's just, next. Well, that's not sin. That's not sin. The Bible doesn't say anything's wrong with that. But next, next, next. And the Lord's saying, I'm God. The church at Laodicea, lukewarm. How did that happen? Maybe they said next to God, when what they really should have been doing was paying attention to what the very thing that they were getting ready to pass over. Well, I'm good there. That's not my need. That's somebody else's. Oh, I've heard that before. I know about that. Well, I don't really like the way that's presented. I'll wait for another time. And so they got lukewarm. Are we lukewarm? Am I lukewarm? Is the Christian world, are we at risk of becoming lukewarm because of all of the things that call to our senses? I feel our culture is programming us to do that. Be careful what you allow to program your mind. Be careful what you allow to program your heart. Don't be distracted by all the distractions and the noises and the things to be seen and the things to fill your mind and your heart. Don't discount too quickly what God has put before you in the present, with many reasons why maybe it's not for you, so that you could turn your attention to something different. The world says, next, please. Distraction says, move on. But God says, be still. And know that I'm God. I want to be true. I want to be on guard. I want to be faithful. Pray for me, because I want to get to the end of the way and hear those words, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Amen.